Good morning to all. My wife and I enjoyed a very pleasant drive from Ringgold this morning. Ringgold, if you are not aware just where Ringgold is, it's just across the Georgia state line from Chattanooga. Beautiful drive, flowers in bloom. And thank the Lord for God's creation. This request is often made, but I certainly desire your prayers as I try to speak to you at this time. I'd like to ask you to take a journey with me. This journey actually occurred centuries and centuries ago. It began in Bethlehem, 6 miles south of Jerusalem. It's a round trip. It also will end in Bethlehem, if the Lord blesses me to speak about the entire journey. There will likely be some stops along the way. And we shall pause and think about the reason for the stops on the journey. You will be very familiar, no doubt, with the setting and with events that occur along this journey. So, no doubt, I will not be telling you anything very different. But hopefully we may explore again the beauties, the lessons, and yes, the heartaches that occurred on this journey. As I said, it began in Bethlehem. You may open your Bibles to the book of Ruth. And if you will, follow with me the record of this journey. Now it came to pass, when you read those words in the scriptures, it's just not referring to events that are a story that is idly told. But when the words, "it came to pass," are used, we see the handiwork of God involved very clearly. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. You will notice in your Bible that the book of Ruth follows the book of Judges. So this journey occurred before Saul was king, before the kings reigned in Israel, when the judges ruled. So you see, it's been a long time ago. So it came to pass in the days where the judges ruled Israel that there was famine in the land. It was not unusual for a famine to be in the land of Israel. Sometimes it occurred when the Israelites had been very disobedient and were even idol worshipers, and famine would be sent in the land because of their idolatry. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah. Bethlehem was in the land of Judah, as was Jerusalem. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. They left Bethlehem because of severe famine. That would be somewhat questionable why they would depart from their own country to the land of Moab, where idol gods, the god Chemosh, I believe, was his name, where they worshiped him. But in any event, Elimelech, his wife, and his two sons left Bethlehem. Now it well could be that, and no doubt this has some reason to consider, that Elimelech was a man who desired to provide for his family. So he had learned that there was abundant food in Moab. So he departed. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. Ephrathites was a name primarily used earlier to describe that part of Israel. And so they left, the four of them, Elimelech, Naomi, and the two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. We don't know how long. They continued there for a while before the events, sometimes, as I said earlier, sometimes tragic and sorrowful events occurred. And we shall shortly see one, the first one. But let me describe at this point something about the journey from Bethlehem to Moab. Bethlehem is located on the spine of the mountains, somewhat like a plateau. As is Jerusalem, you will recall in the scriptures and your preachers speaking about it from time to time, to go to Jerusalem, you must go up. And so it is with Bethlehem. And so this family departed from Bethlehem going down, down, down. In fact, to the lowest place on the face of the earth. Something like 3,700 feet they walked down, down, down to what is in the area that is today Jericho. No doubt it was an arduous journey. No Jericho Road, as we hear referred to today. Sometimes described as wilderness country, desert country. It's that way today. And so they journeyed to the lowest place on the face of the earth, and yet they were still in Israel or Judah, the lowest place. Then and now, just on the edges of the Dead Sea. But they were not yet at Moab. They had to ascend to Moab about 4,700 feet. Imagine walking down, but now walking up. And that's how they journeyed to Moab. And they came into Moab. and continued there. And Elimelech's husband, Naomi's husband, died just there, just that. Suddenly, we read, immediately almost, they continued for a while, but no doubt very long. And Elimelech, the breadwinner, who desired no doubt to provide for his family soon after they arrived in Moab, he died. And she was left and her two sons. In that day, it was very difficult for a widow to provide. Hasn't been so many years ago when it was very difficult here. And it's still no doubt difficult for some widows. I've seen with my own eyes how difficult it could be. There were six of us children. I was the oldest. I was 17. The youngest was 5. And my dad died. And it was not easy for my mother. Oh, I think back on those days from time to time. And thank God that we had a lovely band of people. Yes, a lovely band of people called Primitive Baptists that were there to help. I'm sure I do not know all the help that was given, because Mama didn't talk about it. She didn't remarry. In fact, she remained a widow for 49 years until her death. But I saw the evidence that it was not easy. She had never worked outside the home, but she soon went to work at the A&P store in the meat market. So I know something about it's not easy for widows to provide. Easier even in the day of my youth than in years before that. But here were two sons. That's one of the sad scenes we see in this journey, is it not? They had gone to the land of Moab, fleeing the time of famine. But Elimelech died just that abjectly, just that sadly. The next verse tells us, and they, that is, the two sons, took themselves wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. I wonder, I'll pause there. I wonder if I had asked the question of this congregation this morning, who the names of these two women were, how you would have responded. Oh, you would have immediately said Ruth, no doubt. That's the book of Ruth. You would have, wouldn't you? But how many of you, and I won't ask you to raise your hand, how many of you would have remembered the name of the other wife, Orpah? We'll get back to that, Lord willing. Why her name is not remembered. Oh, how many people have you known that had Ruth in their name? Either first name or second name. My wife, her middle name is Ruth. Her mother's name, Ruth. Four or five people in our immediate family's name, Ruth. One of my granddaughters, her middle name is Ruth. It goes on and on. I could name quite a few, and you could too, name Ruth. But have you ever heard of anyone named Orpah? Oprah Winfrey said that her mother meant to, but got the letters exchanged. But I've never known anyone named Orpah, and we're going to find out why, if you don't already know, as we continue the journey. And so after the two sons married Orpah and Ruth, they dwell there about 10 years. I'm sure that was a time of blessing. I don't know how young the two boys were when their father died, but I'm sure that as they reached teenage years, they may have already been in their teens, this doesn't tell us, but I'm sure they began to provide as soon as they could go out in the fields and work. Even earlier than the teens, they could help with the household needs. And now they grew up and married. And I'm certain that Naomi was cared for. There was abundant food on the table, so to speak. But listen, we pause for another sad stop along the journey. And Mahlon and Chilion died also. Both of them, not just one, but both of them died. And the woman and the women was left of her two sons and her husband. It says woman here, speaking especially of Naomi. But actually, there are three widows, all living in the same household. It is interesting that when these two sons married, that they must have lived close or even in the house with Naomi. Because Orpah and Ruth departed from their own families and lived either within the house or near Naomi. But after these 10 years of happiness and joy, no doubt, and sadness, obviously, after Elimelech died, but a joyful time often as they work together, as they worship the one true and living God together. But the 10 years come to an end. And the next verse tells us, then she arose with her daughters-in-law. Naomi arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. There's bread in Bethlehem now. Bread in Judah. And she arose to return to Bethlehem. These two daughters-in-law also arose to go with her. It would be a first-time journey for them. But Naomi knew all about the journey ahead, how difficult it could be. She wouldn't have Elimelech. She wouldn't have her two sons along the way. Actually, she arose to return all alone. I like that kind of faith and trust in God. I believe there are some in the congregation this morning, some widows. And here I want to pause. This is a very important stop along the way to speak for a few moments about the widows. I'm sure there are a number of widows in the congregation. And in my nearly half a century of trying to serve churches, there have always been some widows round about. And oh, how they have manifested true and undimmed faith in God. How encouraging they have been to me along my journey. I would add to that not only widows, but sisters in the church, generally speaking. I felt their prayers. The first church I tried to serve back in the year 1956, the little church still exists today, southeast of Atlanta. Not as small as it was then. When I went to the church, there were 6 members, 1 brother, and 5 sisters. And I soon saw that abiding faith that resided in this little congregation. Oh, yes, there were others who attended, not members. God has been with that congregation. I believe the faith that resided there through all these years since. Several pastors have come and gone since those latter part of the 50s. But now they have about 70 members. And I must say the faith of those widows and those sisters contributed to the continuation of that church. And as I think about women and widows, I think of the second epistle of Paul to Timothy. And Paul said to Timothy, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." Paul is saying to Timothy, I know about your grandmother Lois, and I know about your mother Eunice, what faithful servants of God they have been, how they have ministered unto you, how they have spoken of the word of truth. No doubt many times, having read the scriptures, that would be the Old Testament scriptures, Lois and Eunice read these scriptures to Timothy. I'm sure that Lois and Eunice would sometimes read the book of Ruth to Timothy. And they would take the journey, as you and I, to some extent, are taking the journey this morning. We don't read anything about the wives of Lois or Eunice. They may have died by this time. But they're not mentioned here as teaching, as showing their love for Timothy. This is an example of how the widows and the women have meant to the church of God, even here at Bethel, I'm sure, through all the years since its constitution. A dear sister and I were talking before the congregation, before the services began. She is about 90, she said. She's still sitting back there. But I'm certain that she has meant much to this church, as this church has meant to her through the years, especially during the time of her widowhood. And so, a trying time when three widows began the journey to Bethlehem. For wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on their way. Went on their way together. I don't know how far they'd gone, but they had probably gone a number of miles. That journey from Bethlehem to where they arrived at Moab was probably at least a week's journey, 7 to 10 days. And so now they had the journey ahead of them. But Naomi didn't really want her daughters-in-law to go with her. I read further. And Naomi said unto her daughters-in-law, Go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. You see what Naomi said, saying there, Orpah and Ruth, you were so kind to my sons. You were so helpful to my sons, and you've been so kindly and so helpful to me since their death. So go and return to your own kindred. The Lord bless you. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. That is, in the household of where their husbands came from. Then she kissed them. She manifested her great love, her daughters-in-law. What a beautiful picture of a mother-in-law and daughters-in-law. Sometimes we hear unkind sayings about the relationship of mothers-in-law and daughters-in-law. But not here, do we? What a beautiful relationship we see between these three women. And Naomi wanted the best for them. She said, as she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. Ruth and Orpah desired to go to Bethlehem. Naomi, no doubt, had told them about her own people and her own country. She had taught them about her God and what the one true and living God of Israel meant to her. Oh, may we often be found as Naomi was, talking to our loved ones talking to others along the journey about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so she kissed them, and they wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return. We will return, both of them, with thee unto thy people. They wanted to be, at this point, both of them, part of the people of Naomi. Oh, I believe I speak to those. I trust I speak as I speak that every one of you in the congregation this morning desires to be always in the future with this people. And I'm sure your beloved pastor, in proclaiming the gospel of truth, as God can wonderfully bless him. I heard him last week in Pigeon Forge. I know above all, he desires that you speak to one another about the God and the Savior that he so wonderfully preaches about. That's the good effect of preaching. I have said, and you probably have heard it before, others say, that preaching really, when you rejoice in sermons and you leave this place, it's these sermons to get you to meditating and talking about your Lord and your God, yes, one to another. That sweet and lovely and precious fellowship that exists here. May God be praised for it. And so they went on their way. And Naomi said a second time, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Why will you go with me? I don't have anything to give you. I don't have any more sons in my womb that you could marry. Poverty. You might see here, poverty-stricken, returning to now the land of plenty, her own people. Turn again, my daughters. The 12th verse, turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry? Would you wait for them till they were grown? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. We hear much about depression in our age. I don't know where that would be the right word to describe Naomi here, but she's cast down. She's heavily burdened. And while she loves these daughters-in-law, she doesn't see how she can provide for them along this journey. She doesn't know whether she will last or not very long, no doubt, after she reaches Bethlehem. We'll see more about that later. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law the second time, you see. But Ruth clave unto her. What a difference there. That word clave is all important. And then Naomi says to Ruth, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Now Orpah turns away. She goes back. This is the reason. No doubt that we don't hear the name Orpah given to little babies, little daughters. Orpah turned back, but Ruth clave unto her. May we pause I especially want to speak to the younger ones this morning. You old ones have been on the journey a long time. You're in Bethlehem, so to speak. But there are younger ones. Their life is yet before them. Their choices along life's way. Enter ye in at the straight gate, wherein is a difficult journey. There's the broad way and the narrow way. I urge all to continue to journey the narrow way, where you shall find great abundance. The broad way can lead to destruction, a loss of the peace and the happiness and the joy we find in serving our Lord in His kingdom and in His church. I speak to those I trust who will manifest the beauties of Ruth, who continues on, yes, not knowing what would lie ahead, but she continued on. Orpah turned back, and I can see Orpah as she walks away in my mind and thoughts just now. I can see her as she turns away and leaves Ruth, her sister-in-law, and Naomi, her mother-in-law. They love one another. I believe Orpah showed it with a kiss two times, an embrace, and with her tears. But she turned away. Can we listen to the steps of turning away? She turned away. And they never saw one another again, no doubt. But what about Ruth? Oh, you know those beautiful words of Ruth, that he'll live through the ages. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Wherefore where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." What a testimony. We've heard it in song. We've heard many ministers quote these words. May these words be a testimony that would be ours all along our journey here. And so when Naomi saw that Ruth was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. That is, she wasn't speaking to unto anymore, because these words left no doubt that Ruth was going with her. So the two journeyed on until they came to Bethlehem. And as they came to Bethlehem, all the city was moved about them, and they said, "Is this Naomi?" Naomi had many trials and heartaches. No doubt her face had more wrinkles, and she was heavily burdened as she returned, and some hardly recognized her. "Is this Naomi?" And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. Yes, indeed, she is cast down. And she believes maybe her end is near. I went out full. The Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi? See, the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me. And they returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem. Listen, in the beginning of barley harvest. Plenty now, plenty. Plenty of food, great harvest season. You know, when I came to the church as a teenager, I believe I came to his kingdom in the beginning of barley harvest. As we read in the Old Testament, found wells there that I didn't dig, and vineyards there that I didn't plant. A wonderful harvest season. And that's what you experience here when your ministers, your pastor especially, preaches from this pulpit. Wonderful harvest season. And so Naomi and Ruth came into Bethlehem. The round trip is almost complete, except for one final beautiful picture, a pause to remind you all. There was a mighty man of wealth in Bethlehem. His name was Boaz. I won't relate all the ins and outs of how what occurred between Boaz and Ruth, except to remind you again that Ruth became the wife of Boaz, that mighty man of wealth. I'm not so sure he was rich in this world's goods, but the word mighty infers he was able to provide a home, security for his bride. And so Ruth became his bride. Well, how beautifully this journey ends. Heartache and sorrow, Naomi feeling so burdened. Call me Mara, which means bitterness. But Ruth, came into Bethlehem, not knowing even at this point what would lie ahead. Becoming the wife of Boaz, they soon had a son named Obed, O-B-E-D. And you will remember the son of Obed, Jesse. And do you remember the son of Jesse? It was the little shepherd boy who became the king of Israel, David. And on down through the lineage, our Lord and Savior himself was born in the lineage of Ruth. Not a Jew, not an Israelite. The picture of Ruth has grown brighter and brighter and brighter through all the years. She didn't turn back. Oh, I've seen some. One of the heartaches of life as a pastor is seeing some who turned away to their own gods. I believe they were children of God. Oftentimes, I had no reason to believe otherwise. But they return to the gods of this world who can lead us astray from the true worship of God. I close with this story. Some years ago, lived in Atlanta at that time, about 35 to 40 years ago, the phone rang. The phone rang, and I was sitting in the living room and went over and answered it. These words came over the phone. "Brother Joe, could you find it in your heart to come and visit me in the hospital?" I recognized his voice. I said, "Yes, I'll come right over." He says, "I'm in the South Fulton Hospital." And so I went over, and I could see from the lines on his face the sorrows of his life. He had turned away. He was a minister of the gospel. We aren't exempt, my friends. Paul himself prayed that when he's preached to others, that he himself not become a castaway. So I saw the passing of the years. I knew he had left Atlanta. The last time I had heard from him or heard about him, he was in the state of Texas. Pretty soon his wife came into the room, and I asked her, "Where are you living now?" She said, "We aren't living. We're just existing." Those words penetrated my heart. And yet, I had a feeling within that they were on their way back. They'd made a round trip, like Naomi had made, and they were coming back home. And they did. And restored to the fellowship of the church. I hope that is never the experience of any of us. Oh, I hope our testimony will be with Ruth, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For thy people shall be thy people, and thy God, my God. And the Lord do so to me, and more also," I like that, "and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And where thou die, I will be buried." May God bless you, is my prayer.